We started a new sermon series called The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. And I believe that in these weeks in which we take time to allow God the Spirit to speak to us, He will reveal Himself to us. We are not interested in learning academically facts and figures and information about God the Holy Spirit. What we are desperate for as those who follow Jesus is that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God Himself, reveals Himself to us. That He becomes known to us. You know, I did a little search this week. I looked in my online Bible, Bible Gateway. If you like studying the Word of God, that's a great tool to use. Bible Gateway. I looked on there and I put in the word Trinity. Do you know what I didn't find? Any references in the Bible that use the word Trinity. You'll find it in the headings, paragraph headings. But it's a word that we have adopted to help us to understand something which is beyond understanding. That there is one God, yet three persons of that one God. And sometimes we speak of the Spirit of God, and we refer to Him as the third person of God. And we think of the Father as the first person, I guess, and the Son, Jesus Christ, as the second, and therefore the Holy Spirit as the third. But I think that's a man-made description as well. And the thing is this, when we think about the third person, it's easy for us in our minds to consider Him to be third in importance. And that's not possible, my friends, because God is one. And we cannot separate, and we cannot divide, and we cannot segregate the persons of God, because they are one. In just the same way as when we think about the church being one with Christ. We must understand that there are not parts of the church, there are not people within the church that are more important than others. And we need to hear that. We need to believe that. Because the Bible teaches us that we are all one in Christ. We all have different roles to play, different responsibilities, but we are all one. And God is one. The Spirit of God is no less God. He does not just have those duties that were left over when God the Father decided He would be this and God the Son decided He would do that. And here comes the Holy Spirit, the third person, picking up the bits that got left over. Absolutely not. And I want you to hear this because it is imperative for us as those who believe and follow Jesus to know the importance of God the Spirit dwelling in us. The Bible says this, that when we give our life to Jesus, when we repent of our sin and we make Jesus Christ the Lord and the Savior of our lives, God does something for us. Yes, He forgives our sins, but He gives us the gift of His Spirit. So listen, the moment you gave your life to Jesus, God gave to you the gift of His Spirit. And from that moment on, this is what the Bible teaches us, His Spirit dwells within us. Don't you know, the Bible says, don't you know that your body is the dwelling place of the Spirit of God? You see, The Spirit of God in relation to every believer does not live in some distant land. We don't have to call the Holy Spirit down from heaven when we feel we have need of Him. As I was standing worshiping God this morning, I was conscious of this presence of the Spirit of God. And it came into my heart. I said to myself, my goodness, I can experience this every moment of every day because God, your Spirit never leaves me. Now, it's beautiful that we come together like this. The Bible says, don't forsake it. There's something which is so important and so beautiful for us as the church to join together as one in worship and praise. But listen, my friends, you can experience the presence of God in your darkest moments as much as you can when you can sense the glorious light and the presence of Jesus. Why is that? It's because He dwells within us. We did not deserve Him. We have not earned Him. He's not given as a reward. I've met people who think that they're not good enough for the Holy Spirit. I think to myself, how sad. How sad that we have relegated God the Spirit to something of a reward. And I say to those people, you never will deserve the Holy Spirit. That's why God gives Him to us as a gift. How do we know that the Holy Spirit dwells within us? Some say to me, well, I never feel Him. I never feel His presence. That is not how we prove that He is with us. How we know that the Spirit of God lives within us is simply this, that we believe what God says. That's it. That's the beginning and that's the end. Do you feel your salvation? No. You know it because God has said it. Do we feel all the time the presence of the Holy Spirit? Not necessarily. Those moments when we don't sense His presence with us, does that mean He's not there? Absolutely not. Because God has said, I will give you, this is what Jesus said, and we're going to read it today. He said, I'm going back to the Father. I'm going to ask the Father to send you His Spirit. And He has been with you. Then He will be in you. Listen. And He will never leave you. Some of us have experienced broken promises of people. Listen, God never, ever, ever breaks a promise. If we will believe God's word, we will know and experience the presence of His Spirit with us. Today we're going to look at this, the Spirit and the Word. These are our Bible quotes for today, taken out of John chapter 14. These are the verses I was just referring to. These are the words of Jesus. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, do what I say. If you love me, obey me. We've said this before recently, and Young Ho spoke on obedience just a couple weeks ago. Obedience is an act of love. And Jesus said, one of the evidences that you love me is that you obey my word. Jesus said, I will pray to the Father, and He will give you another helper, comforter, advocate, depends what translation you read, that He may, listen, abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth. Last week, we looked at what's in a name. And I said to you, you will discover so much about God's Spirit as you consider the names that He is given in the Bible. The Holy Spirit is just one name that is given to the Spirit of God. You don't read of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. It's like His New Testament name. But it's just one name. It speaks of His holiness. And as I said last week, that's why when you're conscious of the Holy Spirit within you, that you become conscious of your need to be holy like God is holy. But you realize you can't do it yourself. And so you depend on the Holy Spirit to bring about within you that holiness of God. I don't know how we could live without the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, that's so sad, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you, and He will be in you. The Spirit of God is truth. The name, one of the names of the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God is this, the Spirit of truth. I want us to look at that name today. It doesn't just mean that the Spirit always tells the truth. That would be a good characteristic, and that would be good for us, that we always spoke the truth. But it means this, the Spirit of God is truth. Let me read some verses out of God's Word to you. This is John chapter 14, the verse that we just read. This is in the Amplified Version. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take to its heart, because it does not see Him or know Him and recognize Him. But you know and recognize Him, for He lives within you constantly and will be in you. You see, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of God is truth. And it is the Spirit of truth working within our lives, within our hearts, who reveals to us what is truth. Now, I'm not just talking about factual truth. I'm talking about spiritual truths. When the enemy, who is seeking to devour us, comes with his deception, with his lies, with his accusations against us, it is imperative that we know the truth. The Bible says this, that it's when we know the truth sets us free. The truth keeps us free. When we feel the temptation to speak bad about somebody, when we feel the temptation to engage in an activity that we know deep down is not honoring to God, it is only when we know the truth that we can identify that temptation as a work of the enemy. And we can say no. And we can do what the Bible tells us to do in 1 Peter and again in James, resist the devil. But in order for us to resist the devil and his deception, we need to know what truth is. True? We need to know what the Word of God, the truth of God is, that we can lay hold of it by faith and believe it and walk in it and at the same time say to the devil, no, I'm not doing what you tell me to do, because I can identify it as deception. How? Because the Spirit of truth reveals to me what is truth. Shows me what God's Word is for my life. If I were at home with my wife and I was tired, I had allowed myself to get grumpy, you understand that word? Cranky, irritable, whatever the words you're used to. If I allowed that and my wife did or said something that I felt upset about, I may feel justified in being mean to her. But I know the truth. I know what God says. The Spirit of God has revealed to me the truth of God's word, which says this: husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church and gives himself for her. And I have discovered there are no conditions to that truth. It doesn't say only when she's being nice to you. Only when she's not being mean to you. Only when she's being affectionate to you. Hold on, husbands. I've got one for the wives here as well. The Bible says to wives, wives, respect your husbands. So when your husband has made a dumb decision, occasionally we do. When your husband has made a dumb decision and you think, how on earth can I respect that man? Here comes the Spirit of truth. As you feel tempted to disrespect him, here comes the Spirit of truth that brings the truth to you. Wives, respect your husbands. And guess what? There are no conditions to that either. It doesn't say just respect him when he's made smart decisions, when you feel he's leading you in the right way. It says respect him. You see, it is only by the Spirit of God that that truth can be brought into our hearts so that we know what truth is. Parents, when your children are playing up, the Bible says that we are to raise them in a godly way. We're to be that example to them so that they look at us and they see Christ manifest through us. And that truth will come like a flood into our hearts. The Bible says, like a flood, the Spirit of God raises up the banner of truth. And truth comes into our hearts. Why? Because it is the Spirit of truth who reveals to us what truth is. My, do we need him. So that we can walk in truth. Because it's as we're walking in truth that we're walking in freedom. You shall know the truth. And as you walk in that truth, the truth will set you, and if I may, I say this as well, keep you free. Look what 1 John 5 verse 6 says, speaking of Jesus: this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. Listen, and it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. You want to know what truth is? You must know the Spirit of God. 100% of the time, he will only and ever speak and reveal truth to us. Sometimes that truth feels pleasant and uplifting. Sometimes that truth, when it comes as a rebuke or a discipline, feels unpleasant. But it isn't what it feels like that determines whether it is truth or not. We may say, I don't like that. I don't want to forgive. But it is truth that we need to forgive. It is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, who reveals to us, as the Apostle John says in his letter, he reveals to us the truth about Jesus Christ. It is he who brings the truth of who Jesus really is, and he causes that to be embedded and tattooed and welded into our very heart, so that there is nothing that anybody can say against our Savior and our Lord that would ever cause us to doubt who he is, because the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, has revealed who he is to us. Can you see how that becoming a Christian is not an intellectual experience? It's not just where you study the Bible to determine whether it's acceptable to your intellect and, oh yes, then I will believe in Jesus. It seems the reasonable thing to do. My friends, if you're looking for true salvation from your sin and the power of sin, it's the only thing to do. But you see, salvation comes as a work of the Holy Spirit. Did you know He is the one who convicts you in the first place of sin? Did you know that? Did you know that you would never feel convicted unless it was for the Holy Spirit? Some of you are thinking, wow, sometimes I wish the Holy Spirit wouldn't do that. But it's because He is also the Spirit of love that He does it for us. And before we ever knew God, before ever we knew Jesus as our Savior, it was the Spirit of God, the Bible says in John chapter 16, that He's given to the world to convict the world of sin. And you know what? He never compromises on that. There'll never be the situation where you have two people, both lost in sin. One of them looks like a good person, in our opinion. The other person looks like a bad person, in our opinion. The Holy Spirit doesn't look at them and say, oh, to the good person, well, you're a sinner, but you're good, so that scores you some points. You don't need saving quite so much. No. The Holy Spirit will never compromise on the Word of God because He never compromises on truth. My, how we need the truth of God. Look at Numbers 23, verse 19. Don't be afraid of reading the Old Testament. Some amazing revelations of God there. Here is one right here. Numbers 23, 19. God is not man that He should lie, or a son of man, a human, that He should change His mind. Has He said, and will He not do it? Or has He spoken, and will He not fulfill it? God never lies. Every word that God speaks is the truth. Everything He promises, He will fulfill. And the Spirit of God brings that truth of God into our hearts. My friends, when we believe these things concerning God, then we begin to believe concerning the work of His Spirit working in us. My friends, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is not just given to us to get us out of fixes that we get ourselves into. Yes, He will do that. My friends, the Spirit of God is given to us. He is like the very breath we breathe. His presence, the presence of the Spirit of God, as we sung this morning, is all we need. If we will live listening to Him, according to His Word, if we will let Him bring His truth to us, my friends, our lives will glorify God from morning till night, and even when you're asleep. The Spirit of God is the truth. But listen to this, our second point. The Word of God is truth. John chapter 17. Jesus here is praying. He says, I do not pray that you, Father, should take them, His disciples, His followers, out of the world, but I pray that you should keep them from the evil one. That's Jesus praying for you and I, my friends. He says, Father, don't take them out of this world, because they've got a big assignment to go and make disciples of every nations. What I do pray, Father, is that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of this world. Did you realize that? If you're a Christian, you don't belong to this world. This world is not your owner. Did you realize that? You don't have to do what this world says. I'm not suggesting you become arrogant in that, but know who you belong to. Don't follow the trends of this world. Don't get caught up in what this world says you must have, you must do, you must be like. It's this deception of the evil one. First John says, do not fall in love with this world, because if the love of this world is in you, then the love of the Father is not in you. Jesus says, they're not of this world, just as I am not of this world. Then listen to what he says. He said, Father, keep them from the evil one. He says this, sanctify them, set them apart, identify them as holy by your truth. Your word is truth. It's truth. From Genesis 1, verse 1, to Revelation 21, verse whatever it is, Bible scholars, you can tell me, is at least verse 19, I think. Truth. Jesus says, your word is truth. Listen, listen, listen. The word of God is truth. Jesus said, sanctify them by your word. Sometimes we think we can go from day to day and week to week without allowing the word of God to percolate within us. Oh, we'll percolate the coffee, okay? But we don't allow the word of God to percolate within us, to let its goodness and its truth come out and saturate our being. My friends, often that is why the enemy gains access to our heart, because God's truth is not alive within us. Oh, I'm not saying sit down for 3 hours every day and read God's word. If you can, if you've got the time, do it. It's not the quantity, it's the quality. Sometimes I'll be with God and he'll just give me one phrase. I was talking with my wife last night. We were praying together just before we went to sleep. And the word of God just came into my heart. I'm not going to tell you what it was because it's for next Sunday. I just to say this, don't miss it. Word of God came into my heart and I was meditating like David says he was in the night season. On the word of God, his truth, my friends, it will keep you away from the devil. Now listen, listen. Quoting it, that's not what we're talking about. You know, where, let's say you get sick, okay? That happens from time to time. You get sick. So what do you do? Oh, I know, I've got a verse for that. So you rummage through your Bible. Oh, here it is. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. And so you quote it, and you rehearse it, and you say it, and nothing happens. So you think, well, maybe I didn't mean it, so I maybe need to speak a little bit louder. So you speak a little bit louder, and you get a little bit more aggressive, just in case the devil can't hear you. And you, I mean this. That's not how the word of truth works. My friends, the word of truth must be embedded in our hearts. Not to where we just know it and can quote it, but we believe it. We believe it. We believe it. My wife, some time ago, she made me aware of a bit of an injury that she had. I said, come on, let's pray. I prayed, and it was not instantly healed. Did it stop me believing in God as our healer? Absolutely not. You see, what we believe is not, must not be based upon what we see. It must be based upon the word of God, because God's word is true. And listen, it's never anything else except true. It's never 90% true. It's never sometimes true, sometimes not. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. No, my friends. If that ever was the case, God would stop being God. God's word is true. If there were certain parts of it that were not true, then how could we be sure that the part of it that says, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved, is true? No, it's all true. God's word is truth. Look at this verse in Psalm 119. I read this the other day, and it almost exploded on the inside. Look at this. The entirety, all of it, the entirety of your word is truth. And every one of your righteous judgments endure forever. You know, I've had people say to me, well, it's okay because it works for you. No, it doesn't work for me. It isn't like a medicine. Medicines don't work for me, by the way. I once was not feeling very well for a long time, really not well, and I took some painkillers. Man, did they not only work for me, I was telling my friend Young Ho about this the other day, I had hallucinations. Seriously. I was in another realm, and it was as real as you are sitting there. Ah, they don't work for me. But God's word, it's not a case, does it work or doesn't it work? My friends, it cannot fail. And that's the truth that must be embedded in our heart. My friends, we have been raised to believe that God's word is not 100% true. Come on. Sometimes because we don't understand it, we think that's license not to believe it. Do you understand salvation? Do you understand the gift of the Spirit of God into your heart? Do you understand grace? No. But do you believe it? You bet you do. God's word is true. The entirety of it, even the book of Leviticus. The entirety of it. Everything God speaks is truth. It's not mixed or diluted. It's truth. Look at this verse. I got some homework for you. Psalm 34. Read all of it. Don't pay any attention to verse 1 to 9. That was because I thought we'd have time to read it today. But read all of Psalm 33. Look what verse 4 says. The word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. Every word that God speaks is right. Everything he does is done in and through truth. My friend, the Spirit of God is truth. The Word of God is truth. Third point, the Spirit of God and the Word of God are one and inseparable. It isn't a case of multiple choice. Would you like to take the Holy Spirit of truth, or would you like to take the Word of truth? Praise God, they're one and the same thing. They're one and the same thing. You cannot divide them. You cannot separate them. Every word that God speaks is spoken by His Spirit. Every word that God speaks, He speaks truth by the Spirit of truth. There is no separation, there is no join, there is no distinction between the Spirit of truth and the Word of truth. They are one and the same thing. You will never find there to be a discrepancy between the two of them. You will never hear the Spirit of God speak to your spirit a word that contradicts the Word of God. Never. Never. Right there, that solves a lot of our challenges. Because sometimes we think, oh, God said I didn't have to forgive that person. Oh, I wonder which God you're listening to. The Spirit told me I didn't have to be baptized. Oh, I wonder which Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, will never speak a word that contradicts or contravenes the the Word of God. They're one and the same. They're one and the same. And the more we get to know the person of the Holy Spirit, the more we get to love Him, the more we get to know God's Word, and the more we come to love it. Can't say, oh, I love the Holy Spirit, but I struggle with God's Word. It's like coming into my home and saying, oh, I love you, Pastor Joe, but I'm not so keen on Pastor John. You can't, because we're one. The Bible says, therefore a man shall leave his mother and father and be joined to his wife, and there shall be one. We're one, one flesh. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is one and inseparable from the Word of truth. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about an armor. It's not our armor. It's not ours. It doesn't belong to us. Did you realize that? You don't say, oh, I'm putting on the armor, my armor. It's the armor of God. It's eternal. And listen, you never read in the Bible that you're supposed to take it off. Someone said to me once, when you wake up in the morning, stand in front of the mirror and imagine yourself putting the armor on. I thought, my God, I don't want to take it off. I don't want to be going through the night season and think that my life is unprotected by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the armor of God. He is our salvation. He is our righteousness. He is our truth. Ha ha. You see, there's no separation. Here in verse, do you love the Word of God? Ah, I long for it every moment. Look at this. Verse 17 of Ephesians 6. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You see, the sword of the Spirit, the sword which the Spirit of God uses. And the Bible says that God's Word is like a two-edged sword. You read about that in Hebrews chapter 4, I believe it is. But the sword that the Spirit takes, listen, what is it? What is it? What is it that the Spirit of God uses to put in an incision into our heart so that which is soulish can be taken away? It's the Word of God. They're one. The Spirit of truth and the Word of truth, they're one. Here we go into John 16. I told you we'd get there. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, disciples, but you can't hear them right now. However, when He, who? The Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. Do you see some absolutes here? All truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, Jesus said, for He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that He will take of mine and declare it to you. Listen, the Spirit of truth has come. The Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, has been given to every true believer. We have the Spirit of truth dwelling in us. And this is what the Bible says. He, the Spirit of truth, will guide you into all truth. What does that mean? That means, my friends, that there is not one situation, one circumstance that we find ourselves in. Doesn't matter whether we have been forced into it, we feel, or whether we have made some silly decisions, and we wake up one day experiencing the consequences of those decisions. It doesn't matter. What it means is this. There is not one circumstance or situation that we could ever be in when the Holy Spirit would not lead us into all truth. Now, take that thought home with you and meditate on that. That right there has the power to transform our whole life. Do you know what it does? It eradicates fear. Most of the fear that we experience is when we project something that hasn't yet happened. Or we project it on the basis of something that has, and we're convinced that it will happen again, and there's nothing that we can do about it. But when you know that the Holy Spirit lives and dwells within you, and that in every circumstance He will lead you into all that is true, and it is the truth that will set you free, right there is the key to walking outside of fear. David often says, as he wrote the Psalms, he would say, I have nothing to fear. I might even be walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Death itself might be hanging over me. And he was in situations sometimes when people were trying to murder him. He says, I won't fear. Psalm 23, I won't fear. Is it because he was so bold and such a courageous person? No. He goes on to say, your rod and your staff are with me. The rod is a picture of the Word of God. The staff is a picture of the Spirit of God. Your Word and your Spirit are with me. And as long as we hold on to His Word and His Spirit of truth, as long as we believe it, as long as we embrace it, my friends, we have nothing to fear, for He is with us. Let's close with this last scripture. We're talking about the Spirit of God and the Word of God being one and inseparable. This is what the Bible says. This was in Acts chapter 4. Peter and John, God has used them to heal a lame man, and not everybody's happy about it. It's amazing when God moves miraculously. Sometimes people get so upset. It's because the Spirit of truth is not living on the inside of them. And these people were upset. They were so upset with Peter and John. Yeah, they threw them into prison, or they arrested them. And they let them go. You read it in Acts chapter 4. And so Peter and John, they go and find their companions, their brothers and sisters in the Lord, and they pray. They pray. And this is what they prayed. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. I wonder how many of us would go to that prayer meeting and say, Lord, they're mean people. Zap them with some lightning. Cause them to be bursting out forth with boils and cancers and that sort of thing. Punish them, Lord, because they touched your anointed. God doesn't work that way, so that would be a silly prayer to pray. God doesn't work that way. This is how He works. When the enemy tries to come in and influence our lives, we hold on firm to the Word of God and the Spirit of truth. And this is what they prayed. Grant to your servants boldness, because we need to speak your word even more. These people obviously need to know who Jesus is. Lord, give us boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Is God going to answer that prayer? You bet He is. Because God has already said that everyone who believes, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Signs and wonders will follow as they speak the word of truth. They're praying God's word. A little hint about next week. Not too big a hint, little one. They're praying God's word as led by the Spirit of God. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all full of the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. You see, the Word of God and the Spirit of truth are one. And when the Spirit of God is alive within us so that we know it and believe it and we depend upon Him and we could not live without Him, what will happen is that the Spirit of God will cause the Word of God to come out of our mouths and we will speak the Word of God with all boldness. Because the Spirit of truth has revealed to us that it is truth. And He has impressed within our hearts and given us the ability to believe it. And for how long do we believe it? Until we get tired of believing it? No, my friends. Until we see it come to pass. Because the Word of God can never fail. I'm so thankful that God has given us His Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who is one with the Word of truth, who reveals the Word of God to us and embeds it within our hearts. Not that we have intellectual knowledge, but that it transforms the way we live, even to the point of what we say. It comes out of a heart that believes, not a head full of knowledge. My friends, do you know the Spirit of God in this way? It's not that He suddenly decided to be like this. He's always been this way. And this has been my prayer, and it will be my prayer right through this series at least, that we come to know the Spirit of God as He really is. Sometimes to do that, we have to kind of put to one side our preconceived ideas. And we have to take the Word of God, which is true, and we have to let it speak to us and reveal to us the truth. And that's my prayer, that we will do that, that you'll take your notes home. They're all just scripture, and you'll meditate on them. And together with the Holy Spirit, you'll muse over them and allow the Spirit of God to bring the power and life-giving truth to bear in your hearts. Because when truth resides where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty, there is freedom. Amen. Let's pray.